Okay, but because this is good. This is good stuff that God's given us. It's good stuff. What we're going to do is we're going to start some sermons on 1 John. Now, you know how I love the Gospel of John. Well, 1 John is what's called an epistle. An epistle is a letter. It's 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And so those are the books we're going to study for the next few weeks. And the one thing you find in the epistles of John, there are three primary themes. One is obedience. You ever heard the phrase, you know, I need to read this first. Let me read this, and then I can keep going. Okay, 1 John 1, look at verse 1. Here's what he's going to say. I want you to notice in these first three verses how he repeats himself three times. Why do you think he does that? Someone repeats something more than once. Why do you think they do that? It's important. Okay? So listen to what he says. He says, what was from the beginning, we're going to come back to that. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. Verse 2, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. You notice what he says? He says, we have seen and we bear witness. That's the same thing he said in the first verse. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, that our joy may be made complete. Okay? These things we write, that our joy may be made complete. You know, for me, my joy is made complete. My joy is made complete when I give you a word from the Lord and I know you are receiving it. Okay? I know it. I can see it. I can feel the Spirit of God when I, and why is it that, you know, if I tell you to stand up every second, why do I do that? Because it matters to me whether you hear a word from the Lord. Because you know what? We all human beings and we get nods and, you know, this kind of thing. And so if I do that, it's because I love you and I want you to know Christ. I want to experience the joy of the Lord in my heart and I want you to experience it also. And that's exactly where John comes from. Okay? At this point in John's life, it's about the year AD 85, 50 years prior, 45 to 50 years prior, 55 years, John was with Jesus Christ. Okay, he's the apostle, and he wrote the Gospel of John. He's also written now 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And so he's been talking about Jesus for 50 years. And you know what? It's like the resurrection was yesterday. He can't stop talking about Jesus. You know, I talk to you about the importance of opening your mouth. It's like John cannot stop opening his mouth about Jesus Christ. Recent weeks I've said to you, how big is your Jesus? Okay? What do we mean by that phrase? Because that's what John talks about. John talks about how exalted Christ is, how high he is, how high can we make him. The higher you make Jesus, the greater you make Jesus, the more you will know him, the more you will experience his love in your life, his grace in your life, and his presence in your life. Okay? But what John does to exalt Jesus Christ, he's going to talk about Jesus Christ and God as light. Talk about God as light, as pure light. He's going to say God is light, and in God there is no darkness at all. John's epistle does, the three themes that it focuses on. First one's obedience, in the sense that God is light and there is no darkness at all. You know what, John? After serving the Lord for 50 years, here's what's happened. It's like John's description of obedience has become very well defined. It has become, I don't want to say narrow in the sense that he's narrow-minded or in the sense that he's legalistic, but I want you to understand that John's theme, one of his primary themes is obedience. And what that means is John does not have a sense of cheap grace. John does not have a sense of cheap grace. Here's what cheap grace is. Cheap grace says something like this. Well, you know what? I've got an anger problem. Well, that's how God made me. I got an anger problem. You know, that's how God made me. So you know what? I don't need to deal with that anger problem, even though the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your anger. It says, be angry, but let not the sun go down on your anger. Well, if the Bible says, let not the sun go down on your anger, and I've got an anger problem, how come I'm not doing something about that in Christ? You see, in other words, John's first theme is obedience. And he says, God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all. What does that mean? You know, it's like what we do with grace. Cheap grace says, well, you know what? It's only one click. It's only one click. You know, it's over the holidays, Debbie and I we went to the movie lots. We went to the movies lots. And I think we went 5 times. Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, anyway, not in that group of movies, but I remember seeing this in 2 movies. I don't know if it's on the theater or on the TV. Here's what I saw. I saw the movies depicting pornography as something everybody does. It's something all the men do. Something all the men do. And what the movies were depicting was, well, you know what? Everybody does it, so what's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. The Bible says we're not to lust. How is it possible for me to look at a naked woman on a picture and not lust? I said, you know what John says? John says, and then if I were to say, well, you know what? I have grace. No, not John. Not John. John didn't say that. No. John says, God is light. And in Him, there is no darkness at all. You know what that means? He said, if pornography is your lust, then you know what? You create a way so that you don't go to the trigger. You don't go there. You don't take the first click. You don't go there. I could just use that. I can use that illustration. I could use many others. Okay? You know the point I'm making. Here's John's point in the epistle of John is, you know what? God is light. There's no darkness in Him. Okay? It's like we don't take advantage of grace by minimizing sin. See? We don't do that. Now, what John does is John seeks to emulate Jesus Christ. It's like, you know, it's like if we had a, it's like a shadow. You remember I did this illustration with a shadow and the Holy Spirit? You know, it's like that shadow right there. That's my hand. You know what? If it was somebody else's hand, that shadow wouldn't look like that. You know, if it was a small child, the shadow wouldn't be so big. Because see, it's not. The shadow's my hand. You know what John does? You know what John's idea of being a Christian is that Christ is the hand and I'm to be the shadow. Because I emulate Christ. That's his first thing. Then his next thing, he's going to talk about love. Love in the body of Christ. That's what he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about love. You know, it's not like, you know, I'm supposed to have affection for Ernie, although I do. Okay? That's not what he's going to talk about. But he's talking about the body of Christ. You know, in the early centuries, you know what identified the church of Jesus Christ? It's our love. And in fact, the Romans, under which Christians were in bondage at that point in time, because of the love was so beautiful, they accused the Christians of having love feast. They couldn't understand it, and so love. John's going to talk about love. He's going to even say that the one in Christ who does not love does not know Christ, does not know God, for God is love. You see, it's like, you know, we talked about, come now, you staying with me? Okay? Debbie and I saw this movie, Night and Day. This is on TV. You remember how the guy was? It's Tom Cruise. He says to the girl that swims, he says, you with me? With me or against me? No, with me or not with me? With me, not with me. Okay, you know, in other words, if you're not with me, it's a bad day for you. But if you're with me, it's up here. You know, are you with me? Okay, you with me? See? Come on, you with me? Okay, you got to stay with me now, okay? Because the love of the body of Christ is not an affection thing. Although there is affection, it's a sacrificial love. And he says, if you don't love, how can you say you know God? Because God is love. It's like a contradiction. What John does is he takes the contradictions that are so, they can be rampant in the body of Christ, and he confronts them. He confronts them. And then the last theme of John's epistle is false truth. It's called the Antichrist. Antichristos. John is the one who coins the word Antichrist. It's not in any other passages in the Bible. So we're going to talk about that too. Okay? So here we go. Here we go. Now that's the introduction. Okay? Okay, here we go. Okay, what page? Okay, we already read it. So what page are we on though? What page are we on in our pew Bibles? 1446. Remember what we said. If you don't need your Bible, then you ought not be here. If you don't need your Bible in here, you ought not be here. You need your Bible in here because we're going to speak the Word of God. We're going to teach the Word of God. You need your Bible. So notice what he's going to say. Okay, now, number one, remember what I said that he did three times. Three times what John says is something like this. He says, what I've heard. John says, I'm going to tell you what I've heard. I'm going to tell you what I've seen with my eyes. He's going to say, I'm going to tell you what I've beheld, and I'm going to tell you what I've handled with my hands. Now, we said he repeats it three times because it's important to him. That's true. But also, I want you to notice something he says. He says, it's like the phrase we talk about opening your mouth. It says, when Jesus speaks, a lot of times they say, he sat down and he opened his mouth and he said such and such. Why does the scripture say he opens his mouth? The scripture's trying to tell us Jesus opened his mouth. Open his mouth is a phrase that means that Jesus is getting ready to say something about God. Something spiritual is about to happen. And he wants to make sure that you're listening. So when he says, for example, John says, for example, he says, what we have seen with our eyes. Okay? Let me ask you a question. Is it possible for me to see without my eyes? Well, why do you think he says what we have seen with our eyes? This is my son, Dave. Okay, let me tell you what Dave told me. Now, this is what Dave told me many, many moons ago when he was younger and not quite as hefty. But anyway, that's okay. That's all right. So, okay, here's what Dave told me one day. He said, I preached a sermon one Sunday about the return of Jesus Christ. And some of you have already heard this illustration. That's okay. But I'm just telling it because he's here, because I can rub him a little bit. But anyway, I preached a sermon about the return of Jesus Christ. And we got home from after church, and we were sitting at the table. I don't remember exactly, but he said, Dad, I just don't want Jesus to come back. He's about, I don't know, 14. I said, what? I said, what do you mean you don't want Jesus to come back? He said, yeah. He said, I ain't got my driver's license yet. He wasn't quite ready. He wasn't quite ready for Jesus to come. It wasn't up to his time. Okay? When John says, he says, what I have seen with my eyes. You know what John's saying? John said, I was spiritually tuned in. Because it's like when he adds those little phrases, he adds those phrases to give clarity. He says, what I've seen with my eyes. You can be in here right now. Okay, you can be in here right now, and you can be sitting doing something, and your ears are not turned. Your ears, you got an off switch. Okay, there's an off switch. It's like you hadn't turned your spiritual ears on. You may be working. It's 45 minutes before the Ravens game start. You know what? That's okay. Hey, we'll be done by then. I promise. But it's like there are times in our lives when we just not turn on spiritually. It's not, I'm not turned on spiritually. I'm not thinking about the things of God. I'm not interested in the things of God. Maybe 5,000 different reasons why you're not interested in the things of God. John's just getting ready to say, you know what? My ears are open to what God's saying. My eyes are seeing what God's revealing. I'm beholding. It's like John saying, you know what? I behold what God is making visible. You pick up the newspaper. You know, it's like this person that brought this article in. You know, you can look at this article about what do people imagine about God? You know, and you can look at it and say, so what? You can look at it, you can think about it, you can study it. You know, I'm just saying, you and I, you know, we're starting a new year. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, for new year. That's a wonderful thing. This is not a sermon about New Year's resolutions. However, there are times in our lives when we can say, you know what? You know, the saying I use a lot of times says, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. You know, come on now. You know, hey, you know what? You want to experience the joy of the Lord. You want to experience the Holy Spirit in your life. Is it what you know? It's like you want some Jesus. You want to catch some of this Jesus stuff. Well, for a lot of us, if you keep doing what you've always done, you're just gonna keep getting what you've always got. Okay. Now John says, you know what, my eyes were open to the things of God. They've been on for 50 years. You say, well, how does someone stay that on fire for the Lord for 50 years? Okay, seniors back here in the back, Sue, bless her heart. That's a woman back there that's on fire for the Lord. And she's been on fire ever since I've known her. Okay, you know what? The older we get, the more we ought to love Jesus Christ. The older we get, you know... That's the truth. The older we get, the more we ought to love Christ. That's what John is saying. You know what? He wants you to believe it. He said, I've seen it with my eyes. I've heard it with my ears. I've beheld the things of God. I've handled the things of God. And so because I'm an eyewitness, because I've been doing this for 50 years, he said, make sure you listen to what I'm saying. That's what John said. So, I think that when John preached, I bet you, if you were to see John preaching, it looked like he'd swallowed a light bulb. He'd be just so full of Holy Spirit. Because the longer we know him, the more we ought to be like him, the more we ought to be filled with him, the more we ought to be... You know what? We had a light crowd in our 9 o'clock service today. I wonder why that was. Because we got a good crowd in here. Why do you think we had a light crowd at 9 o'clock? Well, Ravens, you know, they come to the 9 o'clock because they're going to the Ravens game. Oh, we have a light crowd at 9 o'clock. I'll tell you why. Okay? See, here in the body of Christ, we have yet to understand completely. Not all of us. I don't mean to say this in the wrong way because I'm just like everybody else. You know, I am. He says, you know what Paul says? He says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. See, we have yet to get an understanding of what it means to be crucified with Christ. For the flesh to be crucified. See, for the flesh to be crucified, you know what that means? You know, it was rainy this morning. Hey, you know what? Come on. How does Christ say the Spirit's willing, the flesh is weak? That's what happens. It's like, so you want to start out the new year right? Here's how you start out the new year right. New year right. You decide you're going to crucify the flesh. Oh, crucify the flesh. I'm not going to be governed or I'm not going to be controlled by my I don't want it or I don't feel like it. No. Whether it's behind a computer screen, you know, or I'm not going to be controlled by that. So what John wants you to know is that Jesus is worth it. That's what John wants you to know. He says, in the first verse, he says, what was from the beginning? It's very important we get this part. Because it is, to me, it is a central understanding of who Jesus Christ is. I said, the bigger your Jesus is, the more you'll love Him. The bigger your Jesus is, the more you'll serve Him and worship Him, the more you'll experience the joy of the Lord. We have to understand, when He says, what was from the beginning, what He's talking about is John 1. What was from the beginning? In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. Okay? This is what we talked about last week. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the 14th verse says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here's what that passage is saying, and how it relates to the opening of 1 John. He says, what was from the beginning? And then he tells you what I've seen and heard and so forth and so on. Then he says, concerning the Word of life. What was from the beginning concerning the Word of life. In the Greek, the word that is translated word is logos. Concerning the logos of life. Not the logos of death, the logos of life. Okay? That's the same word that is used in the opening chapter of John. The Word, the logos, was with God. He was in the beginning with God. Nothing came into being apart from Him. Okay, you know what it's saying? See, the Logos, we talked about this last week, really quickly, says the Logos is God's plan. It is God's plan went this way. God wanted to create a people for Himself. He wanted to create a people for Himself. But because He is a God of love, love can only operate and function in an environment of freedom. You cannot make someone love another person. God cannot make, He can, but He has chosen not to make you love Him. Okay? So a God who's chosen, you with me? God who has said, I will not make them love me. I will not make them serve me. I will not make them righteous. I will not make them do the right. But I will give them freedom. Has to also prepare for your and my sin. He has to have a plan that includes the cross. If God is not going to have a plan to include the cross, that means that God would create a free humanity that would be eternally separated from Him. And God didn't create us to be eternally separated. You with me now? He didn't create us to be eternally separated. He created us to be in relationship with Him. And so the only way that we can be in relationship with Him is with the cross in mind. So the Logos, God's Logos, which was in the beginning before you and I were ever created, included the cross. That's why the Scripture says, for example, the stone that the builders rejected became the cornerstone. Christ is the cornerstone of all humanity, of creation. Because God asked Christ whether He would go to the cross. Christ said, yes, I will go to the cross. That is why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Because it is God's plan that has been actualized. God's plan is actualized in Christ. God takes His plan, His Word, His design, His idea, His plan to create a people called by His name. Called by His name. And He can only do that with a Savior. And that's who Jesus Christ is. And the Word became flesh. And so what John's talking about now, what was from the beginning concerning the Word of life, you know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what? Christ is that one. In the very beginning, God, He was God's plan. He became flesh and He dwelt among us. And what is He? He is the life. You think about it. You with me here? See, without the cross, you know what? You and I would not even be here. The only reason why we have been created is because Christ agreed to the cross. Does that make sense to you? That's why in Colossians 1, he says, all things came into being by Him. Apart from Him, nothing has come into being. Christ is the Creator. He is the firstborn of creation, and He is the Logos of life. Because you have life, I have life in Christ. Okay? John wants to know you to know how big his Jesus is. He's the Word of life. You would not have life unless Christ had gone to the cross. But what Christ does is once He provides life, He will become your life. Look, look. He says, verse 2, and the life, now it's not a capital L, and the life was manifested. The life was manifested, and we have seen and we bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. The eternal life was with God the Father in the beginning. It was already there, but it came in human flesh to dwell among us. And what God has chosen to do is that when you're born again of Jesus Christ, He gives you the bread of life. He gives you living water. He gives you satisfaction. That's what God gives you. It's like what God does is not only does He provide a way for us to have relationship, He gives purpose and meaning in and through that relationship. Now look at this part. Verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. As John says, you know what? I've experienced life. I've experienced it. Okay, 5 seconds. Let's take a 5 second stand-up break. Okay, 5 seconds. Come on. I'll count them all for us. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom. Sit back down. See there? Just got the blood flowing. Got this last point. Got this last point. The blood's flowing. You with me? Are you with me? You're not with me. You with me? You're not with me. Okay, you know? That's with me. We go with me. Okokay, here we go. Here's what he says. He says, so what John's saying is, I've experienced life. Okay? I've been serving the Lord for 50 years and it just keeps getting better. That's what John's saying. It just keeps getting better. I've seen it, I've heard it, I've touched it, I believed it, I've eaten it. It's like every single way that John could experience life, he says, I've experienced it. And why am I telling you this? He says, I want to proclaim it to you. I want you to have what I've had. It's like John saying, you know what? This is not a secret society here. Okay? This is not a secret society that only a select few get to experience. John's saying, you know, this can be yours. This eternal life, it's not about you. Don't think for a moment. Don't think for a moment. I'm going to help you. Don't think for a moment. Come on now. With me. Okay. So this is what John says. John says, you know what? Don't think for a moment that I'm telling you about something that only begins when you die. No. This is not something down the road, you know, oh, I don't want any of this because I don't have my driver's license yet. No, it's not it. No, this is something in the here and now. The here and now is life. When he says in a moment, well, I hate to even get to this passage because I was going to do this next week, but he says, in Christ there's no darkness at all. You know what that means? He says, God is light. There's no darkness at all. What that means is, what he's saying is, when you follow God, when that becomes a desire of your life, when you surrender to that loving, precious, holy God, you will walk in the light and there's no darkness there. There is no place where you will not be satisfied. That's what he's saying. There's no place where you're not going to be satisfied. You know, take that light right there. You know, okay, there's like 5 lights in there, okay? You know what? You know, if you, in the very center of that light, there's no darkness. No darkness whatsoever. The light itself has no darkness. It's simply a matter of how bright the light is. In God, there is purity. There is holiness. There is truth. There is goodness. There is mercy. There is faithfulness. That's where God is. God is in the light. He is the light. No darkness there. And he's saying, follow the light and you'll not have the darkness around you. John said, that's something you can have now. Okay, stay with me now. Here we go. This is my last point right here. I've added one. Okay, verse 3. Here we go. Verse 3. What we have seen and we heard. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. It matters to me, says John. It matters to me, so I'm going to proclaim it to you. So that, it's interesting, because actually verse 3 is actually the reason why he started back there in verse 1. Well, all of this, he said, I've seen it, I've heard it, I've touched it. Why? And I'm going to tell you about it. Why? So that, okay, that you, verse 3, you also may have fellowship with us. Okay? I'm telling you all this because so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Okay, let me ask you this question. Okay, fellowship. Do we have a room in this church named Fellowship? What's it called? Fellowship Hall. Okay, the Fellowship Hall, that's downstairs. What do we generally do at the Fellowship Hall? Eat. Good thing to fellowship over. Okay? Good thing to fellowship over. We got, people on either side of the table, and sometimes they're eating, sometimes they're talking, sometimes they're just having a good time, but they're just having fellowship. Okay? No, we're just like, it's like what we need to make sure we understand is what John is talking about here. He says, I want you to have fellowship. I want you to have fellowship with us. Is he saying, I just want you to come together and have a meal? Is John saying, I just want you to talk to one another more? Is that what John's saying? he says, I want you to be together more? Let me ask you a question. Who are the Ravens playing today? The Bengals. They'll be on the same field together? Yeah, they'll be on the same field together, won't they? So, Ernie, stand up here just a second. So let's pretend Ernie's Cincinnati. So you get right there, Ernie. Okay, you're right there, Ernie. Okay, and I'm the Ravens. Okay, now we're gonna face one another. Now we're standing near each other, aren't we? You think we're gonna have fellowship? You think Cincinnati's gonna have fellowship with the Ravens today? Well, they're together. I mean, what if they shared the same water bottle? Well, I mean, would that mean they'd have fellowship? Because we share food. We eat it off the table. Fay line. You can sit down now or anything. What am I saying? You know what? We have an understanding about fellowship in the church. Our understanding of fellowship is that, let's just share a meal together. Now, you know what that word is in the Greek? The Greek word is koinonia. Koinonia. John says, I'm telling you all this because I want you to have koinonia. What in the world is he saying? You see, we lost a sense of koinonia. The modern day church, here's the way it works. We got the preacher boys, see? Got the preacher boys, and we stand up here and we exhort and tell you this, and we tell funny jokes and bloody, 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 and then we got the laity in the pews. And the laity in the pews, sometimes we sit with people we know and we don't talk to people we don't know. And we don't really intersect with them. And in fact, what we do is we pay the preacher boys. We pay them to preach for us and to tell people about Jesus. Do you know what John says? I want you to have koinonia. That is a word. That number one, in order to have koinonia, there has to be a purpose that exists beyond yourself. Okay? It has to be a purpose beyond yourself. It's the word. It's the same word that is translated as a noun, koinonos, in the Gospel of Luke. I think it's the 5th chapter of the 13th verse. And in that passage, how it's translated? As partner. Simon Peter, James, and John are koinonos together. They're partners. What? The first thing about koinonia is, number one, there is something beyond yourself when it's spoken in reference to God. What is beyond ourselves but advancing the kingdom of God? To have koinonia, number one, means that I am committed to advancing the kingdom of God. It ain't got nothing to do with the chicken on the plate. Now, I might eat the chicken on the plate, and I might enjoy the chicken on the plate, I might enjoy the rolls and the biscuit, but that's not koinonia. You can be in this church right here, you can be sitting on this pew, and not experience koinonia because you're not committed to the advancement of the kingdom of God. You know what John is, John's so excited about? I can tell you what, he'd stand up here and he'd just preach and preach and preach and preach and preach, just like I would love to do, but I got a 1 o'clock deadline. Okay, so what John, that's what John would do. Why? Why is that? He wants you to be committed to advancing the kingdom of God. Why? Because he's experienced it. He's experienced it. So to have koinonia, you got to be committed. He's committed to the kingdom of God and advancing the kingdom. That's not something you pay me for, although you pay me, but that doesn't, because you pay me, means you're not committed to it. It doesn't mean that you don't participate in it. You're a partner. Do you realize that in other passages in the New Testament, you know who we have koinonia with? The Holy Spirit. Well, how can you have koinonia with the Holy Spirit, whose role is to testify, glorify, and speak the truth about Jesus, if you're not doing that? You want your Jesus to be bigger? You want your Jesus to be more exalted? Open your mouth. Yeah. You say, well, you know, I don't want to be a Jesus freak. You know what? Let me be a Jesus freak. This is what John would say. John would say, oh, please, let me be a Jesus freak. Let me be committed. Let me be committed to advancing the kingdom of God. That's what koinonia means. I'm committed to it. I'm going to partner in it. It's translated in 1 Peter chapter 4. I think it's verse 10 or 13. I'm not sure. The same word is translated, it's translated there as a sharer. Koinonia is something you're committed to, something you partner with someone else because you want them to experience life in Jesus. Why is it when we start praising the Lord, we feel good? That's the koinonia of the Holy Spirit. And the more committed you are to giving Him glory, the more you will experience Him. The more you open your mouth, the more you know, it's like you said, that's what I saw with my eyes. You know, I see with my eyes. I hear with my ears. Why? Because you know what? I want other people to know the koinonia of Jesus Christ. You with me? Let's pray. I bless you, Father. I thank you that you're worth it. I thank you for your marvelous plan to create a people that you would know. People called by your name. I thank you that you established your name in the followers and believers of Jesus Christ. I thank you we're called Christians because of our faith in Jesus. May we experience koinonia because we're sharing the name of Jesus.
because we're committed to the kingdom of God. Even in those valleys of life. We'll give you praise and honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our musicians are going to come now and lead us in closing songs. I'll be here to receive you as God has spoken to you. You know what? Maybe there's someone in here this morning, and you know what? You just say, you know what? I just want to know Jesus. I want to know the joy of the Lord. I want to know the expression of the Spirit of God. And so, you know how I would suggest you do that this morning? I would suggest what you do is you just make your way to the front. Okay, this is not a public show. This is not so I'll feel good about myself, because I just tell you, I feel good about myself because I've spoken for the Lord. Okay, not because you come forward. That's a wonderful thing. Don't misunderstand me. Okay, but you know what? I want you, that's for you. That's not for me. That's not for the preacher boy. That's for you. For you to say, you know, God, I've heard you. You know, it's amazing things. So many things in our spiritual lives begin with an act of repentance. It's like we say, God, I heard you. It's like we say, God, I confess you've spoken to me. I confess that I hear what you said, and I want you to know that I acknowledge I hear you. Okay, I hear you. And so far as I'm concerned, God, from this moment right now, it's going to be the desire of my heart to do such and such. God may have spoken to you in many different ways. I've learned over the years that God has, I may have one sermon planned, but He's got another 150 sermons planned. However God's spoken to you, tell Him you heard Him. Just tell Him you heard Him. Tell Him you heard Him, and you're going to move in such and such a way as He directs you. Okay? That's how you can do it. So let's stand now as they lead us in singing. And you come as God's directed you.